into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul. Tried with all my might, but I just can't win this fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I am not alone.
Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends, burden and bitterness, they can't just keep it moving, 'cause then I will come here. From now till I walk streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward child's found my way back home.
He picks me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the master, I thank the savior, because he healed my heart and changed my name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. We want to welcome our guests. If you're with us online or here in person, we are grateful that you have taken time to be with us and to worship the Lord with us. It's good to be in the presence of God, but it's also good to be in the presence of people who love God. Amen. We would encourage you, if you're our guest, to take a moment, fill out a connection card. Couple of points of information on there. We just want to let you know we appreciate your being with us. If you would fill out that card and turn it in to either an usher or go to the kiosk in the vestibule, you have we have a small gift for you to show you our appreciation. Also online, you can connect with us on the Bitly link and fill out that information, and we'll get back to you. Let you know that we are grateful that you're with us. Amen. All right, giving options. If you're worshiping today in person, of course, you can give in the vestibule again at the kiosk. There's a plexiglass container that you can drop your offering in. You can visit us online at home or anytime during the week, of course, but visit cgcmadison.org /giving. You can mail your offering in to our address there, listed 5301 Commercial Avenue. Or we have a new mobile giving app. I'm trying to sort through the things I should and shouldn't say. For the over 50 crowd, new mobile app, mobile giving app, download Church Center. You can do it on Apple or Android, and those are both okay words, Pastor. You can say either one of those, but please take advantage of that. You know that God will bless you for every thing that you give. God has more to give in return, and you will be a blessing to someone else. That's one way to let the river flow, right, is to give from what God has blessed you with, in Jesus' name. If you were with us this morning, I like that. Be a river, don't be a swamp. Praise God. All right, so those are our giving options. Next week, ladies hiking next Saturday. See Sister Lindsay for details. Brother Jerry's pointing somewhere. Meet at the church to carpool. See Lindsay Simmons for more info. And if you don't know who Sister Lindsay Simmons is, ask Brother Jerry who Sister Lindsay Simmons is, and he'll help you out with that. Then next Sunday is Holy Ghost Sunday. Amen. I actually had someone ask me last week, what does that mean, Holy Ghost Sunday? And I had the opportunity to explain to him how he had the opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, according to Acts 2:38. Brother Ben Vernon will be teaching in the morning at 10 a.m. And you'll want to be here for that. And then Sister Vicki Vernon will be ministering at 11 o'clock. Hallelujah. If you have never been filled with the Holy Ghost, never been baptized in Jesus' name, now is the opportunity for you to start a new life in Jesus Christ. And if you are searching and seeking for a greater blessing, searching and seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, please come on Sunday, even if it's online or in person. But if you are here in person, you will feel the power and the presence of God in such a marvelous way. You will want to be filled, and God will answer your prayer in Jesus' name. Let's stand. We're going to pray for this service. We want to pray for Sister Melody Shepherd, that she went to the hospital on Friday. Sister Dina is here, has been helping her, taking care of her. Pray for Sister Melody. Any number of needs, all of those that are recovering from COVID that are here today. You brave souls, I'm so glad I haven't had to go through that. And I'm impressed by the way that our brothers and sisters have dealt with it in such a positive manner. Amen. So we want to pray for continued recovery and healing. Pray for Sister Melody Shepherd, and let's pray for this service. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you that you are never far from us, Lord. We know, God, that you care enough about us, that you know our needs. Before we pray, we ask, oh God, for the ministry of your Spirit, even in this service, to quicken the word in our hearts, that by faith we may pray for others and for our own needs, that your name may be glorified in this, that we may bear testimony and bear witness to the work that you are doing. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for Sister Melody Shepherd, for the touch of God in her life, in her mind, in her body, strengthen and recover her. I pray for all of these that are now struggling with COVID or that are coming out of it, oh God, that your strength and your healing, not just for the moment, but that you will remove, oh God, all of the long-term effects, that you will bring strength and healing to everyone's lungs and body. We pray for this service this morning, oh God. We know that you have a plan, that you have a purpose, that you have given Pastor Hawk a word. Help us, oh God, to be sensitive to your Spirit, to be receptive to your word. Anoint the man of God and anoint our ears to hear, that you may be glorified, oh God, that we may draw closer to you, that your word may be shared and spread for the sake of salvation and for our own needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. Praise God. Let's worship together.
There's not a mountain too tall. There's not a problem so small that Jesus can't resolve. In time, he'll get involved, 'cause our God, he cares about us. So wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And he'll renew your strength. Thank you.
wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus.
I'm not turning back.
I'm not turning back.
I've made up my mind.
Opportunity to bring the word of the Lord to the church this morning. For those of you who may not know me that are new to the church, I'm James Hawk, a pastor. For those of you who may be looking for something, searching for something, it can be found right here. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, without a father in the house. I had a mother that did the best that she could to raise a, I think the word is rambunctious, a rambunctious child who grew up with daddy issues. Didn't know what it meant to be a man. I had the emotional side of things down, but I didn't know what it meant to be a man. But I just wanted to take this moment to thank the Grant family. Pastor Grant has been that male mentor to me that I never had. So if you're lacking or missing anything in your life, look to your leadership. Brother Seidel was responsible also to bring my wife and I into the church. How many of you do you think would sit down three times while someone was coming in drunk and challenging you, but yet you kept coming because you understand that this was a lost soul that needed God, regardless of the deception that they believed? I want to thank all of you. It's just been a great honor. Hallelujah.
Yes.
To be under such anointed leadership. For those of you who also don't know me, my granddaughter says that I'm the best papa in the world. Thank you, Shia. I want to go into the word of the Lord. Going back to the time when I was growing up, I used to go to church every Sunday, and I won't mention the denomination, but they didn't believe in the oneness of God. They didn't believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost. They didn't understand the power that resided in the name of Jesus Christ. But every Sunday after church, I would go to the movies. And in Atlanta, back in the olden days, as some of you young people might say, they had double features. And I would go every Sunday and watch this double feature. I would watch the cartoon and the coming previews. But my favorite movies to watch were monster movies: Godzilla, Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon. Some of those rang true with some of you that are old enough to remember those. And then when I got home from the movie, my mother had gone to church. So I'm sitting in the house by myself. And I don't know if any of you have had this problem, but when you're sitting in a house by yourself, you hear all kinds of strange things. So I would sit in a corner with a butcher knife. If anything came towards me, I was going to defend myself. And right before my mother got home from church, and I knew what time that was, I'd take the knife and put it away, and all the fears went away. But as humans, we have rational and irrational fears. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The Bible talks about another type of fear, rational and irrational. Fear, by definition, is an unpleasant and often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. Fear is completely natural and helps people to recognize and respond to dangerous situations and threats. However, healthy fear, or fear which has a protective function, can evolve into unhealthy or pathological fear, which can lead to exaggerated and violent behaviors, holding a knife. The Bible uses the word fear 400 times in 385 verses. As we can see from these verses, the fear of God is vital in salvation and in living for the Lord. A man or woman who does not fear God would not believe in him and thus not be saved. Because they have believed that they have all the answers to life, and nothing else matters. I work with people as an alcohol and drug counselor who figure that they have found all the answers. They have all the answers, but yet they're coming to me because the answers they found has created problems in their lives, and it's unacceptable to them. And when you tell them the truth, I'm not supposed to testify and witness to people, to proselytize in my job setting. But when a person asks, well, James, how did you make that transition? How did you make that change? Well, thank you for asking, let me tell you. And I take that opportunity to tell them about the restorative power of Jesus Christ, the truth that resides in his word. When you don't know how to live, in my life, when I was growing up, I didn't know what it meant to be a man. I had no roadmap. But God has given us a roadmap. To any problem that we encounter in our lives, it's all right here. As Bishop likes to say, from Genesis to maps, it's all right here. It's all right here. And the thing is, getting someone to pick that up and read it and follow what it says seems to be one of the hardest things in the world. I had rather believe in me than believe in that word that you're talking about. When all your beliefs are internal, you are your own God. A lot of you know my history and background, and when I tell people this, a lot just don't believe me, but I was an alcohol and drug addict for over 20 years. I went to prison 5 times in my life. And I came to the realization the very last time that I got locked up that my biggest problem was I never wanted to admit that I was wrong. And as long as I didn't admit that I was wrong, I didn't have to change anything. I didn't think about the hurt and the pain until after the fact of those that loved and cared about me that I caused for them. But also while being in a prison setting, my pastor came to court and he told them, the judge, what I was like without the alcohol and drugs. And I've told this story before, but I'm still quite impressed by it because, as you know, church and state are not supposed to come together. They're not supposed to coexist in the same place. But that judge said, I believe that if someone is going to change, it's going to be because of a fundamental belief in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that was the case. When I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to God and to turn away from the things of this world, that was a turning point in my life. And I am grateful for that. I have a wife now. We just celebrated 41 years of marriage who put up with me through all of my stupidity, through all of those fears that I had of doing things the right way. And I thank you for that, Sister Hart. I'm trying not to become emotional in this, but sometimes when you look at how good God has been in your life, it becomes hard not to become emotional. To know that your life, in fact, does have value, that you're not just fodder for the cannons. That you will no longer allow Satan to have control over your life and take you down a path of destruction. And also, the people that are watching you. There's always someone watching you, no matter what it is you're doing, especially when you have children. Your children are watching you, and children, this blank computer, I'm looking at this little baby over here, a blank computer. They know nothing. And it's all about what they see and hear, and no matter what you are doing, what you are saying, they're listening, no matter what they may be doing. But their attention is focused on you and what's going on. And they model their lives after you. And I think about the fact of how I model negative behavior for my children. And I'm really sorry for doing that. But nonetheless, they grew up in the truth of who God is and what God means to a life. Excuse me. God is so good. People of God are even great. When I talk to people that are lost, they don't understand what salvation is because they have their own beliefs. A lot of the people that I work with, they tell me that, well, I'm a Christian. And I have to ask them, well, what exactly does that mean? well, I go to church and I pray, and sometimes I pay tithes when I've got a little extra money. See, is that all there is to being a Christian? And they think that it is. But a professing Christian who does not fear God will not live a godly life. That's how people can go to church Sunday morning and be in the bar Sunday night. The two don't go together. Self-believing refers to one's attitude or disposition towards someone, something, one's state of mind. One's attitude towards something will determine how one acts. So as we think, our thinking controls our beliefs, and our beliefs control our actions. If you believe that you're right in your own mind, you're going to follow that, and your actions will take you straight to hell. The one thing that I love about this church is that you will hear the truth. They don't lie to you. We don't sugarcoat it here. We simply tell you the truth and let you make up your own mind about what it is that you need to do. Not only do I stand here and preach this word, but I tell you, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Look for yourself. Buy into this for yourself. Psalms 90 and 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. A wise man will accept the frailty and uncertainty of life. He will accept that he is God's creation, and as such, God has a purpose for giving him life, and that each man is responsible to God for that life." I have found through all the things in my life that I have gone through, I've always wondered, God, why did I go through that? Why did I have to experience this? And the only thing that came back to me was for such a time as this. I take away the excuse. You can't tell me what it's like to be an alcoholic. You can't tell me what it's like to be a drug addict. You can't tell me what it's like to be homeless or displaced. You can't tell me what it's like to be in prison. I understand. I know. I've been there. I've done that. I've got the T-shirt and got it signed. But I take away the excuse, because if I can do it, anyone can do it. And anyone can do it because there's a loving God that gives us an opportunity and the space to change our hearts, minds, and our souls and commit ourselves to a saving Savior that will restore to us and put us to our rightful place in Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. God's word is true, and it's a pattern for life. God instructions and realization that life is short and that eternity is long before Him. We all are going to stand before our Lord and Savior. And a lot of times we tend not to believe that what the Bible says is true. But written thousands of years ago, the Bible talks about the fact that we're going to be living in a cashless society. And I don't know how many of you go shopping at Hy-Vee, but they don't accept anything but exact change and money for whatever it is you buy. How do you know how much the exact amount of money is going to be? They're moving. We are rapidly moving towards a cashless society. Now, how can that be unless there's something that truth is built upon? That truth is, you know, the fulfillment of the word of God. We are living in the last days. We are the fulfillment of the New Testament. So if there was a book, now we've got a lot of authors in the book, the Bible that God has given words to profess moving forward about what His grace, His goodness is, and what there is to be expected. But ask yourself this, being that this is the last days, what will your life profess for your Lord and Savior? What will be said about you? Now, I'm not sitting in judgment of anyone, because I can't, at least not yet. But that day will come in heaven when I have that opportunity, I think, if I read the Bible right. Yeah. What will it say about you? Have you done enough? Have you heard the voice of God? Have you moved upon that word? Because I know for me, I sat and occupied the pew. I kept a spot warm for years, not doing anything more than coming in, being fed, and walking away. My bishop one day called me into his office, and he asked me a simple question. James, what are you going to do that the Lord has called you to? And for me, that was like conviction just fell upon me, because I knew from the time that I went down in the water and was baptized, I knew that there was something that God had for me to do, but out of fear, I didn't do it. Out of fear, I didn't pursue it. Out of fear, I did not follow through with the calling that the Lord had upon my life. And in essence, I ran. I ran. I ran to Joppa. A lot of you know that reference. But it was gotten to the point where you get uncomfortable, where there are pricks on either side of you, and no matter where you turn, you cannot get away from the hurt, the pain, the suffering that you're putting yourself through unnecessarily. Why do you endure this? Why would you allow this to happen? How do you let fear affect your life in such a way that here's a path clearly in front of you that you can walk down away from the hurt, upon away from the pain, upon all of those things that have been negative in your life, and walk into that glorious light that will lead you into heaven? How do we do that? I've done it, but it's so foreign to me. We're 30, over 30 years in this thing. And the Bible says that only a dog will return to its own vomit. And I know exactly what that means firsthand, because I did. I came to the Lord, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, got baptized, but yet I was playing church. I posed the rhetorical question, how many of you are playing church? How many of you come here and commit to doing one thing this morning and then do something else this afternoon or for the rest of the week? A Sunday, Wednesday Christian. This God thing is a 24/7, 365 until the day that you die, your call home. Oh my. I'm so far off my notes, but we have a vengeful God. He tells us, even with your children, those of you that have children, when you tell them what it is that they should do and they don't do it, how do you feel about that? Do you take it personally? Is it a personal affront? You know, children get to that age where their peer group is the most important thing in the world, and all of a sudden parents become the dumbest things on the face of the earth. Until they get to be in their 20s, and oh, is that what my mom or dad meant? After they have gone through some of those things, and it's just human nature that we go through it. But why put ourselves through things when right now it's all out in front of us and we don't have to endure the pain, the suffering that Satan will put upon us, upon our lives? Why will we give in to a defeated foe? He knows that he has lost, and he thinks so little of us that all he wants us to do is to become lost and commiserate with him. That doesn't make any sense. Well, we got a loving and caring God who lives in heaven. How many times in your life, from the day that you were born until the day that you died, and you aren't dead yet, but how many of us have been promised a mansion made out of pure gold that's prepared and waiting for us? And that's just a place that we go and sleep. Now, we value gold here on this earth. It's one of the most valuable things there is. But in heaven, gold is nothing but a sidewalk. That's all it is. But we will be in the presence of the living, loving, and caring God. No more pain, no more suffering. That's what the translates, our bodies being translated once we get into heaven. We take off this sinfulness of the flesh, because man is born of woman a few days and full of sorrow. And we go into heaven to an incorruptible body. Would anyone help me here? What does incorruptible mean? Cannot be corrupted. Very simply put, thank you, Brother Stone. Sin cannot come into that body. We will live and have the things for eternity that we want and that we desire. We all have a choice to make today. The Lord says, vengeance is his. He says, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Why? The Greek word probiros, it means to be frightened and fearful. Psalms 36:1 says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. Yahweh, Yareh, which means translated, means afraid, frightened, dreadful, to stand in awe. Psalms 33:8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. This word is used 330 times throughout the Bible. It refers to a psychological reaction to being fearful of something. When God appeareth before Abram, it was a terrifying thing. What does the word terrifying mean to you? But to stand before a God, a terrifying God, who is angry, and this is the fulfillment of the initial question, who is angry because you did not listen to what he instructed you to do that was in your own best interest. How angry would you be at your child? How do you respond to your child? And the thing is this, where we might show compassion, there is no compassion at this point because God says it's either heaven or hell. If you don't do what I've instructed for you to do, the only place for you is hell. I don't know if anyone has ever given much thought to hell. I know I have. The Bible says that hell is fire and brimstone. It's an unquenchable fire. It's also a bottomless pit. For most humans, there is a great fear of burning alive, dying in a fire. And this is what God has set for those that choose not to follow him for eternity, to fall and to burn, never to reach a bottom, or go to heaven where the tree of life is, where God is, you can be in his presence, where you can worship him and praise him, and then go home to your mansion. Fly around heaven all day. Hallelujah. I look forward to that. If the musicians would please come. Brother Roy made a statement a while back. I don't preach very long. I try to get directly to the point, make a point or two, and open up this altar area here in front for those that have a conviction upon their lives, for those that feel as though that there is something that they need to do, for those that find that they have unreasonable fear in their lives that they need to be shed of. That happens here. Do you truly believe that there is a heaven and a hell, and that you will spend eternity, you're going to spend eternity in one of them? There's no doubt about it. Do you believe that if you live your life as God wills, you will live the best life possible and that you will be rewarded in heaven? Do you believe also that if you do not want the consequences, if you do not, what will the consequences be for you? Everything that I have wanted in my life, God has given to me. Even though being a sinner, I was not deserving of those things. There is nothing good in me. The Bible tells me that. But it's only because the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me. I have accepted it in my life. And I have put fear aside, that unhealthy fear. And I have a fear of God. I have a fear of dying and going to hell. Where's the fun in that? There is none. You know, for a few minutes of quote-unquote fun here on this earth, like Brother Roy was talking about, this guy that built a $500 million house. The Bible says, what does it avail a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That is a question that we have upon us every day. What does it profit us? For whatever it is that we seek after are things of this world. Because whatever it is we want to need, God would give us all those things that we need, not the things that we want. God will allow us to go through situations, hurt, pain, suffering. But at the end of it, there is a lesson that God is teaching us. And I'm a firm believer in that. And I have seen that repeatedly in my life, the things that I've gone through. So the question becomes for me today, for you, what are you going to do? What's missing in your life? What fears are you holding on to? What is keeping you away from a more vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ? If there's something more that you want, a need from God, this altar area is open here. This altar area is open. All you got to do is ask. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. You simply have to repent and ask God for whatever it is you need, even though he already knows before we ask what it is we need. What's in our best interest, he will give to us. All we have to do is submit ourselves to his authority and to his rule. Let the fear go. Embrace the fear of a dreadful Savior that loves you, that wants more for you than what you've been receiving. The sum total of what you received in your life is not who you are, what you're worth. The situations that you have come out of, the hurt, the pain, the suffering, that doesn't define who you are. Jesus Christ and the relationship that we have with him, that's what defines who we are and what our life is truly worth. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God.
We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Jesus, the name above every other name.
Jesus.
Jesus, the only one who could ever say
he's worthy.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Fill me with your heart and
Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's a lot of people that think they know a whole lot, but they haven't yet learned how to fear the Lord. I'm so grateful for the Word of God. Thank you, Pastor Hawk. I needed to hear that. Amen. The world is peddling some form of fear. I'm not afraid of all that stuff that they wave around this time of year. But I know that my God is real. His word is true. Promises of God are yea and amen. I trust in His word, and I fear to live without Him. Praise God. Remember, ladies hiking next Saturday. Remember, next Sunday, bring a guest. Pray for this service that there will be hungry hearts, that there will be those who are seeking the Holy Ghost, those that will receive the Holy Ghost. Pray for anointing on the Vernons. And remember, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, come again to hear the word of the Lord, to join together in worship. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus' name.